What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, so Buzz is standing by in the studio for our Big Tuesday podcast, but before we dive in, I have a request. I need you to open your internet browser and type in patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And once you're there, choose to either follow the show for free, or better yet, subscribe for as little as $1 a month. Why? Well, because this show is powered by our Patreon page. We can't do this podcast without the immense support of our Patreon community. So why not join that exclusive club? It's the hub for this show where our most loyal listeners hang out and, by the way, where they can enjoy all kinds of bonus content as well. So join us, why don't you? Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob. Bob, I have to get back to work.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, February 20, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,127 of the Biden-Harris administration, 259 days until the 24 presidential election. Find me on Threads and Instagram, The Bob Seska. I'm also on Blueski, which I'm being silly when I pronounce it that way. I know it's Blue Sky, but I say Blueski because that's what I choose to say. I'm there too. You can find me there. Twitter, BobSeska_go, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news. Yeah.
And you say Buzz Burbank.
You said it all.
Can I get you a lozenge, sir? Yeah.
No, I'm choking on the spray paint from these sneakers. Oh, man. Gold paint everywhere.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
He's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we keep large amounts of cash in our homes.
We do.
So for committing fraud, Trump has to cough up over $450 million. And he's not allowed to borrow from any banks in New York. The penalty was so harsh and Trump's fine was so big, he tried to get a loan from E. Jean Carroll. She recently came into some cash.
Yeah.
That Fonnie Willis is tough, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see her up there on the witness stand?
Yes.
So fierce with Trump's attorneys. I also have it on good authority she once bit a mailman. Fierce.
Yeah.
Tough. The Republicans' top witness in their Hunter Biden charade has now been arrested for lying to the FBI. Congressman James Comer, who led the accusations, reacted by saying, something, 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 Biden. Democrat in name only, Joe Manchin, has decided not to run for president after all. Manchin plans to spend more time on his real passion, kidnapping babies.
I had no idea. He's doing that?
Wow. Yeah, again, still. Tucker Carlson interviewed Vladimir Putin this past week and was widely condemned as a useful idiot for Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Putin, of course, immediately denied that Tucker is in any way useful.
Right.
And Bill Post, the inventor of the Pop-Tart. Inventor of the Pop-Tart has died at the age of 96. Company executives say he'll be cremated because if they bury him, he might pop up again.
More music, the Bob Seska Show.
Okay, here we go with the great Rocky Mountain Mike.
Once he had a place he called his home. He said 30,000 square feet. get some merch, your fans will buy it.
Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Oh,
as timely. That new song parody smell, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it helps get the smell of the monologue out of here.
All right.
No.
Okay.
Timely and a great job. Unbelievable. One other thing that's exciting about these, I think this is the best news about these sneakers from Trump, is it's good news for Josh Hawley.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to run a lot faster now.
Exactly right, with those golden sneakers. The first thing that I thought of when I saw those goddamn stupid shoes,
right,
that people are apparently paying all kinds of money to buy. But the fact is that those shoes look like his golden toilet.
Yes.
That's the first thing I thought of. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be a great slogan if he promoted the shoes by saying, hey, this looks like something Donald Trump pooped in.
There's a poop in every pair.
There's a poop in these shoes. Thank you.
Pair.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be doing that anytime soon. But you know what? Dare to dream. I'm just throwing suggestions out there.
I guess the only way he's connected to these is licensing. He sold the licensing rights to this fake company that I guess their address is some law office in Wyoming or something.
Yeah.
It's not none of this is real. It's all imagined. But and I don't know how much money he makes for the licensing or what kind of deal that is. But they sell for $400 a pair. And it was a limited run, one of 1,000 of them, I think. And, and now they're selling for like $10,000 and more.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Kurt Eichenwald is reporting about that Wyoming town. It's like Sherman, Wyoming, or something like that.
Forget the name
of the town. But apparently, a lot of crooks and con men set up companies in that town. I'm not sure what it is about that town in Wyoming, what laws they have on the books or anything like that, but Kurt's on top of it, yeah.
So it's the Wild West, Bob.
It really, really is. But, I mean, look, they're sneakers. This is what Donald Trump does. He is a master plagiarist. Loves attaching his name to things that he didn't build, that other people built. Sometimes they ask him to attach his name. Other times he just does it voluntarily. He just takes it like the VA choice bill that he always takes credit for that Barack Obama signed into law. No, Donald Trump did that. That's his. But that's what he says. And of course, he's a plagiarist and he didn't really do it. Even his wife, Melania Trump, plagiarized not one but two Michelle Obama speeches.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, the whole business model for Donald Trump right now, for the Trump organization, is just slapping the Trump name, the Trump brand, onto shitty buildings and products.
a lot of people wonder, well, what happened to Trump steaks? And the answer is they are now the soles of these shoes.
Oh my God. Perfect. Holy shit. Yeah, well, I mean, they were sold in mall stores, probably right next to a Tom McCann's or something like that, next to a Foot Locker. So why not just pass them between the two store locations?
Reuse.
Yeah, nothing says genius like, hey, why don't I sell beef in the Sharper Image stores next to the vibrators? Great idea, Donald. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how this helps him politically or financially. Like I said, I don't know what the structure of this licensing deal is or what he initially would get for it. I can't imagine that it will help him much, considering the fines that are now adding up quickly.
You want to listen to him getting booed at the sneaker convention?
Oh, please. Oh, really? To see now. Here's what pisses me off. The press accounts that I read, sneakerheads were all in for Trump. That's the press account I read.
No.
Please play me this tape, please.
Yes.
Soon, please.
I'm intravenously pumping this into my veins right now. Here we go.
Wow. A lot of emotion. There's a lot of emotion in this room. Thank you. So the really nice thing is we have lines, and I want to thank Chase, and I want to thank Alan.
Yeah, it reminds me of that scene in the movie Talk Radio with Eric Bogosian, the Oliver Stone movie, where he goes to the basketball game, and he thinks everyone loves him, but they're actually booing him, and they throw, like, drinks at him, and they're throwing garbage at him, and he's just like, oh, they love me, and he just gets dragged out by the scruff. So that's Donald Trump. When he gets into a mixed audience, that's what exactly happens. He's not around his cult members to praise him artificially. So as soon as he gets into this kind of crowd, it's go fuck yourself. Thank you very much, sneaker convention. I never thought I'd be praising a sneaker convention, but there it is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who knew there was Sneaker Con? I should have known, but I didn't. Yeah, no, $400. I mean... this whole thing. I don't know what the purpose of this was. I don't, if this was just a show, it was over very quickly, and I don't get what the point of it was.
Yeah. Well, SneakerCon is not only the name of the event, but it also describes the event because it is a con involving sneakers.
I'm fine that sneakerheads have a convention. That's not what I'm questioning. I'm saying I don't understand the point of the Trump sneaker stunt. I don't, that's what I'm trying to I don't see what that how that serves him or anybody long term.
Anyone who wants to put his name on some crap, he'll do it. He'll do it because he's desperate for money. You know, like any claims to have $9 billion worth $9 billion, and he's licensing his name onto shitty sneakers.
Well, it all adds up, and between that and the fundraising, for his persecution, those are the things. I guess it all adds up. I guess every little bit helps, I suppose.
But yeah, whatever he can get his hands on, his little stubby fingers on, he's going to take. Yeah, yeah, because he desperately needs it because he's been found liable for nearly $500 million. Because he committed business fraud. Let's be clear about this. Donald Trump is a gigantic fraud, and in a court of law, they have ruled as such. That's the case. Let's listen to Letitia James announcing this. I think it's important to hear this from Letitia James herself. She deserves her moment in the sun, and here we go.
Donald Trump and the other defendants were ordered to pay $463.9 million.
Woo!
That represents $363.9 million in disgorgement, plus $100 million in interest, which will continue to increase every single day until it is paid.
Right.
Donald Trump, the former chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, and the former controller of the Trump Organization, Jeffrey McConney, are each banned from serving as an officer or director of any New York company for 3 years. Mr. Weisselberg and Mr. McConney are also banned for life from serving in a financial management role in any New York company. Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump are banned from serving as an officer or director of any New York company for 2 years. And Donald Trump and his companies are banned from applying for loans from any New York bank or financial institution for 3 years. A new independent director of compliance will be created at the Trump Organization to ensure the company establishes internal protocols and meets financial reporting obligations. And the current independent external monitor will continue to oversee the company's financial dealings and ensure this fraud cannot continue.
Babysitter.
Wow. Love it.
He requires not one, but two babysitters now.
He's already had one, and the company says it has cost the Trump Organization $2.5 million a year to have her there, as the court has ordered. They hate this woman. They hate this woman. And now that they've been told she's going to be around longer, oh, man, are they pissed about this woman. And now, in addition to that, as you just heard, there's a second monitor that's been put into place that wasn't there before. The company's now going to have to pay that monitor, too.
Yeah.
So this is costing the company millions of dollars a year while Trump appeals and while the interest continues to build. He's got to put a lot of money down within a set amount of time. Finding companies to bond him, I think, is going to be trickier than you've been hearing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
A baby's in a corner again.
That's exactly right. And I love every second of it. You hear this?
Right.
This is me finding that vein. Got to find that vein. Oh, pump this ship right into there. Yeah.
Spanking the baby. One of the two. I'm not sure.
Okay, so yeah, Judge Engoron described Donald Trump as Donald Trump and his sons as lacking contrition and remorse, bordering on the pathological. that's an understatement of the year. But I'm glad to see that kind of shit is on the record. It's so important for this to be on the permanent record so that posterity can look back and see exactly what happened during this horrendous era in politics.
You're absolutely right. That's the part that goes into the history books.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we care about here, in addition to the justice that has just been delivered. Mm. Oh, let's just stop and take that in for a second. some justice has been delivered.
Yeah.
Some actual justice. And he can't weasel out. He can appeal this, sure, but it's going to cost him. It's going to cost him big. This hurts him. Make no mistake about it. I was laughing a moment ago because one of the most common responses I got when I posted that quote about lacking contrition and bordering on
pathological.
But the most common response I got was bordering on.
That is absolutely true. You know what, he's got to revise that. Maybe he can revise the record next time he gets a chance.
Well, he was being polite. He was being judicial,
right?
I guess when he's
judicial, which the other judicial thing that he did, that's Dana Carvey. The other thing that he did was he struck his prior ruling that the Trump Organization and other business certificates would be dissolved. And obviously that's a disappointment, but I think on the upside, legal analysts are saying that it'll reduce the chance that an appeals court will overturn this thing. It'll be seen as more favorable to an appeals court that Judge Engoron held back from taking this extra measure. Naturally, all of the MAGA people, all of the Trump supporters, including surrogates, people like Ronnie Jackson and so forth, are behaving as though that's still in place, even though it's not. Scott Adams, in fact, the Dilbert guy, was tweeting about that today.
Of course.
Acting as though, oh my God, just the whining. Holy Christ, the amount of whining coming from the Trump people. One of my favorite clips to come out of the aftermath of Judge Engoron's ruling the other day was Eric Trump whining and whining and whining. My dad built the skyline in Manhattan, and how dare Manhattan be so mean to my dad? Mm-hmm. And someone used AI. And I am not a fan of the AI buzz.
Nor,
I
don't know if we're going to
talk about this.
Yeah,
I'm with Justine Bateman on this. I think Justine Bateman is doing incredible work getting the word out about the myriad downsides of AI. But someone used AI to apply a little girl's voice to Eric Trump's whiny lament. You want to hear this thing?
Yes,
this is exactly the cadence and words that Eric Trump spoke on Sean Hannity's show. Except the audio has been replaced using a deep fake of a little girl. Here we go.
Father built the skyline of New York City, and this is the thanks he gets for doing absolutely nothing wrong, not a dollar financial loss. I caution anybody even thinking about moving to New York to just be careful. This is not the state that my father grew up in. This is not the state that we grew up in. This is the demise of a politically weaponized system, and it's horribly sad, Janine, and I promise you we're going to fight this, and we're going to win at the appellate division, because honestly, it's so egregious. It's so egregious, I promise you we're going to get overturned.
That is perfection. I want to hear more of that, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
So anyway, the big story, I think, coming out of this, you know, we've talked about a couple of things in recent weeks here. And one of them, obviously, Donald Trump encouraging a Russian invasion of Europe. That's one of them. We're going to talk a little later in the show about how he's now come out in support of a national 16-week abortion ban. I think that's another one on the short list as far as recent Trump things that we can apply to this election campaign.
Indeed.
And now he is immensely compromised by this level of debt. We're talking about half $1 billion with this judgment alone, and the interest is going to continue to accrue. So the judgment itself was $364 million. That was the number Judge Engoron mentioned in his judgment, in his decision. And then on top of that, there's at least $100 million in interest that continues to accrue daily. So right now, it's $464 million plus. You should always add the plus at the end, because right. more and more money is going to get added on top of that. Oh, and then, of course, we've got to take into consideration the $83 million he owes to E. Jean Carroll. There are several lawsuits, by the way, against Trump in Washington, D.C. regarding January 6th, law enforcement officers and so forth. And he missed the deadline to appeal to the Supreme Court on those lawsuits last week in terms of immunity. We talked about that on Friday's after party. So there's all kinds of money that he owes. And that doesn't even take into consideration his criminal trials and any penalties that might be involved there. And so where is this money going to come from? Who's going to provide him with this cash? Either he's going to start selling off his assets in order to pay, and he's got to pay the bond. I mean, this is something that he's got to face immediately. So right now, internally, Donald Trump is scrambling to figure out how to cover this level of debt right now. But where's he actually going to get that cash? If it's not selling off properties, who's going to give him that money? And to what degree will that compromise him? Is it going to be Elon Musk giving him the money? Is it going to be a foreign government giving him that money? This is a guy running for president. He should be conflict-free when it comes to money. But Donald Trump is nothing but conflict.
Right.
And so we have to take a hard look. And I really hope... Hello? Hello? Journalists, reporters... I hope someone is investigating this right now. I hope someone has been assigned to this beat to make sure that they know and can report on where Donald Trump is going to get $500 million within a very, very short span of time.
I hope someone's watching that, although I don't have a lot of faith in the mainstream media.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, lump on top of all of that, that Donald Trump has an IRS audit going on. Right now, it's happening. It's happening behind closed doors. That could put him on the hook for as much as $100 million. That's on top of all this other stuff. I mean, this is a completely separate IRS audit, the one that he keeps complaining about. Say, I can't release my tax returns because of this IRS audit. Well, we got his tax returns, by the way. And that's one of the things that contributed to this decision by Judge Engoron, that information. So this is a gigantic pile of money, maybe all told $1 billion, somewhere in that range. I mean, it's a colossal mountain of cash.
Despite his claims of being a $9 billionaire, it's actually closer to $2 billion. So if that's $1 billion down, that's $1 billion left. And most of that is in real estate. And Trump supporters like to point out, oh, well, he's got a lot of money there. You know, he's going to be fine. And it is true, he won't have to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But the other truth is the value of his properties have dropped. And so they're not, he would have to sell them at a loss. He's going to have to sell them at a loss in order to generate cash.
Yeah.
Unless he's saved by the Saudis and he sells a lot of sneakers and a lot of red hats.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need answers for. Whether or not the Saudis will lend him the money for this. I can't imagine anyone lending him money. Kimberly was saying to me last night, she said, what happens if Elon Musk gives him the money? I don't think Elon Musk is writing a check to Donald Trump string-free, like free of any payback for $500 million. I don't think that's happening. He's whatever money he gets in order to be able to pay this debt, he's going to have to pay back in some way. Either, you know, obviously selling off assets aside, these are going to be in the form of loans that ostensibly, while he is hypothetically president again, he's going to have to pay these loans back. And so what kind of corner is that going to paint him into as far as policy goes, as far as decision making goes?
Right, right.
I mean, one of many things that we have to be concerned about with regard to Donald Trump being president again. And let me add that being in debt for at least $500 million, and these are in
that
legal penalties, that is far worse, incidentally, than being 81 years old.
Just that in itself, by the way, is compromise. That in itself,
yes.
Being that far in debt, as far as the U.S. government is concerned, when hiring government employees, one of the things they look at is debt, because a lot of debt is suspicious that that person is likely compromised.
Yeah.
And that would be the case with Donald Trump. So that's very important. And as we know, and as we have known from his first term, these are the risks of having Trump president. And the risks of having him president are one of the best ways to keep him from getting reelected. The other, I think, is the abortion issue. He wants a national abortion ban, as I'm sure we're going to discuss. And these things combined, as Bob said earlier, it's the combination of these approaches that will get the job done.
Yeah, right. Well, and then meantime, Bloomberg is reporting that Trump spent $51.2 million in 2023 alone on legal expenses.
Right.
Plus, he can tap another $26.6 million stashed in an allied super PAC that he can use to pay lawyers. But right. as his four criminal cases ramp up, those funds are expected to run out by July.
Well, he's got he's got Lara Trump saying that if she can co-run the Republican National Committee, she'll make sure every dollar goes to Trump. And that remains undefined. How do you mean it goes to Trump? What does that mean exactly? And the other thing we've learned recently is that for every dollar that MAGA idiots send to this guy, mm-hmm. Whether it's buying a hat or making a donation, 60 cents out of every dollar is going to pay legal bills.
I love 60 that.
60 cents out of every dollar from yeah. maggots yeah. is going to legal defense. So add these things on to the pile you just built for us.
Yeah. And by the way, contrasting this with what's happening on the Biden side of campaigning right now and fundraising, mm-hmm. Politico reports that the Biden campaign touts $42 million raised in January. The Democratic president, DNC, ended January with $130 million cash on hand. Joe Biden, 81-year-old Joe Biden, who many Democrats are saying should step aside because, well, reasons. Right. Joe Biden has raised the highest total of any Democratic presidential candidate in history. That is an enormous statement. What this shows is it shows Joe Biden is way more popular than the polls are indicating. That's first thing. And secondly,
Donald Trump is greatly feared. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, yeah. And it's a combination of those two things, yes, obviously. Is. But yeah. people obviously have confidence in Joe Biden enough to give him yes. a record amount of money for any Democratic presidential candidate in history.
Absolutely.
And that's taken into consideration Barack Obama and his enormous popularity. This is a massive bit of good news.
Unquestionably good news. It's a shame we have to evaluate the progress of political campaigns in this way, but this is the reality we're dealing with, and this is the form of money we deal in. So we just have to accept that. I hope that someday the system can change and not be so reliant on money, but
yeah.
right now we'll take this win.
Well, as long as Republicans are raising money, or at least yeah. trying to raise money, that's, right. I think that's the more appropriate right. way to describe it.
True.
As long as they're doing it, we got to do it. It has to It has to be both sides putting down their nuclear weapons, so to speak. That's right. the way this has to work as far as campaign finance goes. And hopefully that will eventually happen. What we got to do, here's the first step to getting there, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
We got to win this election. You know why?
We do.
The Supreme
why?
Court. And the longer we can have to secure more justices on the Supreme Court, the more likely we'll be able to overturn things like Citizens United,
right.
which opened up the floodgates as far as private money, dark money into right. presidential right. campaigns and so forth.
Or enact term limits, whatever it takes to, yeah. to bring the country to a reasonable and moderate Supreme Court. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots more to talk about here in the context of this. Plus, I want to talk about Ezra Klein's piece in the New York Times this uh-huh. week, which is a fascinating and frustrating read. In case you haven't read it, it's very, very long. But the most important part about it, and mm-hmm. I always have flashbacks to the summer of 2013 when I was covering the Snowden NSA story. The most important part of Ezra Klein's op-ed in the New York Times
yes.
is buried like right smack in the middle of it.
Of course.
Where most people aren't reading. I mean, most people don't read past the headline, to be perfectly honest, based on
That's
surveys.
True.
Yeah. And then secondary to that, most people don't read past the lead, like the first sentence of the article. So shit like I'm going to read here in a second from Ezra Klein's piece, that got completely lost. But
it will be new to most people, yes.
Right, right. But it answers questions that I have had, or I should say hypothetical mm-hmm. questions, because mm-hmm. these are details that we haven't gotten until recently. And there was, by the way, an adjoining Houston Chronicle piece where they endorsed Joe Biden Biden for president, in which they say similar things about Joe Biden's actions as president, what's going on behind the scenes. This is really important. So we're going to talk about that. Meantime, we're going to talk about Donald Trump and his support for a national 16-week abortion ban.
Yeah.
More journalistic malpractice on Meet the Press. Holy God, wait till you hear this clip. I don't know how these people get contracts and get paid so much to appear on these television shows when they don't know anything. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
All-time favorites all day long.
As I walk to work, the ground split beneath my feet, and as I palmed my chest, I felt that I was somehow incomplete. I was the shame. Less important than the hellscape on 9th Street. By my lunch break, the sky had cracks in the clouds. And as I walked by the lake, I saw my reflection falling down.
Oh, yeah, this is one of my new favorites. Karma and the Killjoys. And a song called Hellscape on 9th Street. Yeah. Such a great song. Got a link in the description to support Karma and the Killjoys. And this here single right here. I think I premiered this song when we talked to John Billingsley on the show. Dr. Phlox from Star Trek Enterprise. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we just celebrated the 1-year anniversary of the premiere of Star Trek Picard Season 3.
Oh my God, a year already.
Yeah, do you believe that?
Wow, wow. You guys must be exhausted from doing a year's worth of shows.
I know. You're talking about Trek politics?
Yes.
A year's worth of shows. That's hilarious. No, right, Nikki?
No.
You're gonna do a year-end wrap-up or...
That's right. No. Here's the thing with Trek politics. Be entirely clear about what's going on with that. Right. Mary has been writing a book. And as you may or may not know, writing
about
a book
you.
Is... It's a book about me. What, see, now, that would be incredible. Why aren't more people writing books about me?
Well, I'll do it if she won't.
Thank you. But of course, writing a book occupies every second of your time. When you're not actually typing, you're thinking about it, you're constructing it in your head, coming up with ideas, rejecting ideas, proofreading, going back over what you've written. Yeah. It is an all-consuming thing. I wrote one back in 2008. I had 4 months in which to do it, and it was the most taxing, difficult project I think I've ever worked on. Suffice to say, Mary Trump has been very, very busy. So as soon as she's done, as soon as she puts that book to bed, we're going to sit down and talk about the future of Trek politics. So don't worry. Don't sweat it. Everything's going to be fine.
I understand Mary was featured briefly last night on the John Stewart thing.
Oh, yeah, really?
The Daily Show. Yeah. I guess he spent some time saying, and I guess I think his bottom, I read a recap of
it. Oh, I know why.
Yeah. Yeah, right, because she tore into him, as we did, I did last week, for and so he recapped people tearing into him and saying, you know, well, I guess democracy means not having a discussion or something like that.
Oh, fuck that.
And then he moved on from there to something else. I'm recording the show. I may occasionally watch the show, but am I excited he's back? No, I'm way over it. I'd be eager to see the numbers. The numbers were terrible for his first week out, and it'll be interesting to see if they went up or down from there.
I've just heard from a lot of people who are like, done with Jon Stewart.
Yep.
Walking away from Jon Stewart, and for good reason, I think. It was really disappointing last week, and for him to do like a whole whiny, like Eric Trump style lament about that is insane, because he absolutely.
Maybe we should AI his voice. I don't know. I was spitballing here.
Well, I mean, he both sides the issue. He downplayed things like what will happen to the country if Donald Trump becomes president. These are all legitimately wrong things for him to have said, and naturally pissed off a lot of people. And now I'm even further pissed off because obviously he didn't bring up my complaints about his show on last night's episode. So damn him. Damn him for not talking about
me. Featured. I will send him a picture so he has a graphic to put up.
Yeah, please. Why don't people send him screen grabs of all the things, the terrible things I've said about. I wrote a whole piece about Jon Stewart. No one sent him that. Why wasn't I included? I'm kidding, of course. I'm glad. I'm happy for our great friend Mary Trump that she was on there. But she wrote a whole piece. Her piece for her Substack was Jon Stewart is a threat to democracy.
Yes, she did. She minced no words, as they say.
Yeah, and I sent her a note as soon as that email came down with that article. I was like, thank you for saying this. And I said,
you and I talked.
Look out. Yeah. I added, look out, because she could end up getting in trouble. And obviously, Jon Stewart called her out last night. So I'll look forward to seeing that. Obviously, my trend now is you and I talk about it on the show, whatever Jon Stewart has said. And then I watch it later because I'm so prepared for today's episode.
Well, I guess rightfully I should have watched it, but don't. I no longer consider it an important source to absorb before doing the show. Yeah. I watch Rachel before doing the show. Mm-hmm. I watch the evening news. What is it? World News Tonight with Skippy.
Not his real name, is it?
He's got to do something about those sideburns. I'm telling you. But that's another Skippy show. Yeah.
Okay, so Fox News is doing its best impression of Fox News. It's self-satirical impression of Fox News.
That's right.
They're framing Donald Trump as a political prisoner like Navalny. Laura Ingraham was talking about the other night. And by the way, this is a shameless insult to actual political prisoners, of it's which sad. There are many, including Navalny or formerly Navalny. Besides, you know what? Trump was indicted. We've got to be clear about what's going on here, because they're making this seem as if Joe Biden's behind the scenes all at once, doddering and drooling, but also pulling all the levers of American jurisprudence, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. They're playing it like Biden is as dangerous as Putin, but can't get from one end of the hallway to the other. And you're right. And maybe if we can find a way. If we can find a way to continue to present that contrast, I think it can help us.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, to be clear about how this is working with these criminal trials, Donald Trump was indicted not by Joe Biden. He was indicted by American citizens serving as grand jurors who spent months of their lives examining evidence and weighing whether he should be charged and going over it. Years of process went into this. This
was the people.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And a lot of this process occurred before Joe Biden ever became president.
That's right.
I mean, the Letitia James thing was before. That started in, I think, as early as 2018 between Cy Vance, New York City, right. New York State, Letitia James's office, obviously. All of those things were occurring long before Joe Biden ever got his old man hands all over those levers. So, right. I mean, this is not Russia. This is not Putin's Russia. We have due process here where citizens sit on juries and decide the fate of people like Donald Trump. Not prosecutors, not the president, not attorneys general. Citizens making these choices, American citizens. And that gets lost in the mix here.
It shouldn't. It should very much be part of the mix. And we have some strong tools with which to work in this election. Mm-hmm. Number one in my book still, number one for the 100th straight week in a row now, abortion. Donald Trump this past week said, and I know you're bringing this up, and I keep getting ahead of it, but he wants a national abortion ban.
Right.
You know, 16 weeks to make it sound moderate, but ladies and gentlemen, it's a national abortion ban. That's your campaign number one, because Americans, Republicans and Democrats, oppose that idea.
Right.
So our strongest tool in the box is that. Our second strongest, and it's strange, it's weird that it would be second, but democracy, the threat to democracy that Bob was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the list obviously goes on.
Yeah, yeah. Compromising debt, yeah, all these things.
Exactly. The Joe Biden economy is maybe the third strongest tool in our arsenal. We have excellent tools, and the timing is perfect. I'm feeling we can't take anything for granted, but it's ours to lose. We're like the Kansas City Chiefs at this point. It's ours to lose.
Yeah. Well, the 16-week abortion ban is far from moderate. I mean, a national abortion ban is about as extreme as you can get.
Exactly.
And the other thing about 16 weeks, according to the reporting in the New York Times, 16 weeks is entirely arbitrary. This is Donald Trump putting his finger on a number and going, well, that's a round number. Let's try that.
In fact, Bob, he called it an even number.
He said
the reason he likes the 16 weeks is that it's 4 months and that's an even number.
Wow.
That's why he thinks it's fair and moderate. That's the scientific knowledge that he brings to his 16-week abortion ban. It's an even number. He said that.
Remember back in 2016 and 2017, there was this breathless anticipation all throughout the political press and even among some analysts on Twitter and so forth that don't worry about Donald Trump. He's going to pivot to being presidential. He's going to moderate himself for general audiences, general voters, and not just appeal to his MAGA base.
Yeah, he'll
he's going
to settle down.
Yeah, he'll become a normal president here.
That's right.
It was absolutely ludicrous. It showed no insight whatsoever in terms of Donald Trump's personality, how he handles politics, how he conducts himself. Donald Trump is not going to moderate in any way. He's not going to move to the center. He's never going to be presidential.
Never.
He never was and he never will be.
Right.
Along comes Meet the Press and Mara Liaison, who sat on the panel with Kristen Welker and some others on Meet the Press Sunday morning. Okay, I'm just going to start playing this because it's like, talk about a WTF moment. It's like, what the fuck is this?
A policy issue that has been in the spotlight this week, abortion, Mara, because revelations, New York Times first report, NBC News has confirmed that Trump is considering backing a 16-week federal ban. He likes, I'm told, a nice round number. What do you make of this? What's the implications?
Well, there's two aspects to this. Democrats are going to say he's for a national ban. He doesn't want states to decide. Every blue state that's codified.
Okay, first of all, yes, Democrats are going to say that, but it's also true. What is she talking about? She frames it as Democrats saying this, which peels away some of the reality of the observation. This is not a he said, she said thing.
Right.
This is a fact. Report it as a fact.
I'm told a nice round number. What do you make of this? What's the implications?
Well, there's two aspects of this. Democrats are going to say he's for a national ban.
Because he is.
Yes.
Because he is. That is a fact.
A 16-week national ban.
God damn it.
He doesn't want states to decide. Every blue state that's codified Roe, that's going to go in the garbage can. So that's one impact of it. But the second thing that I think is incredibly interesting is that Donald Trump is acting like a normal politician.
Oh, no. No. Right, Nikki Haley?
No.
Oh, my God. No.
That's right.
Damn it. What is that?
It's NBC. It's all of them, but especially NBC. And you have to wonder at this point, what the hell's going on? You have Kristen Welker here at Meet the Press. Meet the Press had already lost its credibility.
Yeah.
She certainly didn't help. Remember, she went to the little steak dinner in Milwaukee with Trump's henchmen before the first Republican debate so that NBC could get one of the debates. And then on Friday, Katie Tour, who I thought, well, Katie is still good, right? Yeah, Katie's one of the good ones. Mm-hmm. Is she really? No. Katie Tour is no longer one of the good ones. She asked her panelists, is this fair to go after Donald Trump like this in this environment is my question.
That's a quote.
Is this fair to go after Donald Trump like this in this environment is my question. Legal correspondent Lisa Rubin agreed that Tur's assessment of the statute is true, but then threw it to New York Assistant Attorney General Tristan Snell, who gave it more analysis. But the fact that we have mainstream anchors asking, is it fair to go after Donald Trump?
Oh, for fuck's
sake. We don't need that. And it's starting to look and smell like a conspiracy at NBC.
Yeah.
It's spreading through that organization like a disease.
And
I have to wonder, and wondering less, isn't this a directive from the top at NBC?
Could be. Could very easily be.
I do not trust, we cannot trust NBC, period.
Yep.
As for the others, a case-by-case basis.
All right, just to be sure that we have the proper context for all of this, let's listen to the rest of Mara Liaison on Meet the Press, because this is utterly infuriating. This is journalistic malpractice of the highest order.
State that's codified Roe, that's going to go in the garbage can. So that's one impact of it. But the second thing that I think is incredibly interesting is that Donald Trump is acting like a normal politician.
No.
He usually doesn't do that, but he's moving, trying, if this story is true, to move to the center on abortion for the general election.
No.
To get more where the majority of voters are. And you know what? There is a consensus.
A majority of voters don't support a 16-week abortion ban. Supporting a 16-week abortion ban is not the center. But they're defining it as being the center. This is,
selling a lie. Yeah. They're selling a lie. Now, if I were going to take a run at analysis, I would say he's trying to make it appear as though he's going for the center. But the truth is, he is going for a national abortion ban. Yeah. That's the proper way to frame this. And I don't think it's a partisan way. It's the facts.
Yep. I'm not going to play any more of this because my blood pressure. For my own personal safety, that's where I'm going to stop the audio. But obviously, we got enough of it to understand what's happening here. As long as people like Mara Liaison and Meet the Press keep saying that a 16-week abortion ban is the centrist policy, holy God, then people are going to start to believe that that's the centrist policy. Suddenly, the opinions on choice and reproductive rights move to the right. As though they already hadn't moved to the right. They're even moving farther to the right.
And that feels like the whole plan. And that's where it's been moving all along anyway. And my point is that what you have just shown us here is all but the tip of the iceberg. That this has spread like a disease throughout NBC. And now it has consumed even Katie Tour, who I thought was kind of okay. But now I got to write her off too.
Damn it. Am I losing my mind? I don't think we're losing our minds here.
No, I think
what's happening is happening. That NBC is desperate to frame Donald Trump as a normal candidate in the face of everything, in the face of the very fact that Donald Trump, given his druthers, would absolutely arrest every single journalist and executive and showrunner who works at NBC News.
Starting with Katie Tour.
Starting with Kristen Welker.
Yep.
I mean, all these people would be on Donald Trump's enemies of the people list. and they're busily like falling over themselves to define Donald Trump as being normal. Stop it. Stop it. You're hurting America, to quote Jon Stewart from years ago. You're hurting America. You're hurting democracy. You're hurting the First Amendment, the freedom of the press, by so flagrantly bending over backwards to define Donald Trump, of all people, as something that he's not, making the rest of us feel like we're being gaslit, making the rest of us feel like we've taken crazy pills. Fucking stop it. And you know what? All the same sentiments go to Jon Stewart, by the way, just throwing that in there.
Yeah, yeah.
This is insane. And all in the context, too, of the Alabama Supreme Court ruling that IVF embryos are children.
We talked sickles, boy sickles.
Yes, right, right.
Frozen children.
We talked about this after the Dobbs decision was handed down. I said, you know what? They're going to go after IVF clinics next, because a lot of those embryos, the non-viable ones especially, are eventually destroyed. Because they're non-viable.
This frozen embryo ruling is another step toward banning IVF. Yes.
That's exactly right. And now they've got a court precedent to be able to do that. Right. I mean,
unless it's overturned, which who knows what's going to happen.
Well, on top of the fact that MAGA Republicans, once again, on the extreme wrong side of an issue, a 2022 survey of, I don't know, 6,000 people. Only 6% of Americans said IVF is morally wrong. 6%. So we've got to use this. I mean, Republicans go to IVF clinics to get fertility treatment.
Yes, they
Republicans do that. I mean, anti-choice Republicans engage in this because they want to have babies. So the Republican message is, if you don't want to have a baby, we're going to force you to have a baby. And if you do want to have a baby, we're going to say, no, you can't have a baby.
As virile as Republican men are, sometimes they need this technology.
It's insane. It is absolute madness what is going on here. And it's not going to stop with IVF. Obviously, contraception is on the table as well. But you know what? Republicans, keep going. Please keep going. Because the more extreme you become, the more elections we're going to win. Because I know for a fact, obviously we've seen this bear out in all kinds of special elections and in the midterms, is that women are fed the fuck up. They are fed up with you and your fuckery. And by you, I mean the royal you, the entire Republican establishment. Okay, so more to talk about here. Ezra Klein's New York Times op-ed saying that Joe Biden should drop out, not because he can't handle the job, but because he can't campaign as vigorously as a younger man. Ezra Klein took like 5,000, 6,000 words to say this, what I just said in one sentence.
That's my point about articles that long, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've been known to write some long ones too, but I try to be brief. I try to use an economy of words with my stuff these days. But suffice to say, right in the middle of this thing, as we were saying before, he makes the entire case for why Joe Biden should continue to be president. We're going to read that paragraph and talk about it here in just one second. Back with more show right after this.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Seska plays more music.
stuff reminds me of one of my favorite recording artists right now. This is, by the way, Powder Pink and Sweet in a song called Blue Sunshine. Reminds me of M83. I don't know if you're familiar with M83, but similar genre of music, which I love, and therefore I love this. Again, Powder Pink and Sweet, Blue Sunshine is the name of the song. Link in the description to download it. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay.
It's ethereal. I like that.
It's wonderful. This is kind of I've been listening to a lot of this lately. Okay.
Very soothing, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And just pulse pounding and exciting. And I love that wall of sound aspect of
it's both soothing and pulse pounding. It's both of those.
Yes, indeed. All at the same time. It's almost like you're on drugs. It's like you're smoking pot and doing cocaine at the same time and it out. Yeah. Okay, so Ezra Klein must have been smoking pot and doing cocaine at the same time because he wrote this op-ed saying Joe Biden should drop out because he can't campaign as vigorously as a younger man.
Right, and I agree with you that sums up the whole thing. And I also agree with you, at least in the sense that you talk about this one part in the middle where he says the important part.
Yes.
And that is where I stopped reading. As soon as I read that part, I thought, well, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And that's where I stopped. But yes, please share with us that important segment that was buried all the way down in the middle.
Yes. So as you know, since this issue came up, I've been contemplating this notion of, well, if Joe Biden were really out to lunch on the job, then there'd be reporting about this.
Some kind of leak.
Yeah, of course. It would leak all over the place, and this press would jump all over. We've heard how the press reacts to politics these days, especially at NBC News. You think NBC News would go, you know what, we're not going to touch that. We're not going to touch that story. Well, we've heard Joe Biden fell asleep in a cabinet meeting. We're just not going to report that.
Right.
No. Of course they would report that. Of course they would report shit like that.
Immediately. They'd break programming for that.
Right. But here is the answer to that hypothetical question. Is Joe Biden doing the job? Is he able to handle the rigors of being president? The answer is a resounding yes. Here's Ezra Klein in the middle of the piece in which he's urging Joe Biden to drop out of the race. Since the beginning of Biden's administration, I've been asking people who work with him, how does he seem? How read in is he? What's he like in the meetings? Maybe it's not a great sign that I felt the need to do that, that a lot of reporters have been doing that, but still. And I am convinced, watching him, listening to the testimony of those who meet with him, not all people who like him, I am convinced he is able to do the job of the presidency. He is sharp in meetings. He makes sound judgments. I cannot point to you a moment where Joe Biden faltered in his presidency because his age has slowed him.
There you go.
All you need to know. He is fully engaged. He's doing the job. He is alert. He's asking questions. All the normal president things.
And bear in mind, this is in the context of an article that says, hey, he's too old to do it.
Right. You know what? The campaign is only lasting until November. If he's not out barnstorming the Midwest and the swing states and doing five rallies a day, guess what? Neither is Donald Trump. And so it's my theory, it's my thing that this whole age issue is going to cancel itself out. Dude, Biden's old, Trump is old.
I can't take credit for this idea, but you know when we might see evidence that Biden has a lot of energy? And a lot of verve. I think probably a couple of weeks from now when he delivers the State of the Union address.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is going to be so much more effective than a clip before the Super Bowl that he was criticized for not taking advantage of. Even I wondered at first why he passed up a chance to speak to 60 million people. And I still have some concerns about that. But it would have been a clip that could have easily been taken out of context. We just don't know what CBS would have done with that excerpt, because they weren't going to air the whole thing live, chat with the president. So he has the State of the Union speech coming up in 2 weeks and 2 days. And that's an opportunity for him to show the nation just how strong he is. I don't know what the viewership will be like, but there will be clips from it. Clips, hopefully, that we can also use throughout the campaign.
The expectation that Joe Biden should be doing primetime press conferences and sit-down interviews all the time, this is an outdated framing for how the presidency is handled in the modern social media age. I strongly believe this. While I do like the fact that presidents 40 years ago used to do primetime press conferences and all these things. Bill Clinton was very good at them. Ronald Reagan was good at them. JFK was exceptional at those sorts of things. Right. We're in a new paradigm now. Things are a lot more divisive now. Networks are less willing to hand over their airtime to politicians and political events and things like that. See also the lack of coverage that you get on networks of conventions. I mean, that's one of the things that has fallen by the wayside as far as network coverage goes. And the fact is that what you don't want, especially in an election year, is to put Joe Biden, who is going back 50 years, notorious for being a gaffe machine. What you don't want to do is in the social media divisive politics age is to put that man front and center and roll the dice that something bad is going to happen again during a harrowing election year where democracy is a cliffhanger, democracy is on the ballot, fascism is on the ballot. It's bad politics. And you don't see that happening with Donald Trump either. I mean, Donald Trump is not doing a lot of sit down interviews, especially with, well, he may be doing it with friendly press. But he's not doing it with the normal press. I mean, when was the last time Donald Trump sat down with someone from NBC News in that adversarial kind of setting?
Yeah, CBS or ABC.
Yeah, so. I mean, even going back to Barack Obama. Barack Obama was constantly attacked for not doing enough press conferences. It's just now we're deeper into the weeds of social media, the weeds of the internet, and so it happens less often. It's not necessarily a reflection, and because people are ageist, they'll automatically assume this with Joe Biden. It's not a reflection of his age or his inability to do the job. It's simply smart politics. It's simply smart campaigning for the modern age.
I realize there's a risk, but that seems to express a little lack of confidence in the candidate. And I think the more we get to see the real Joe Biden, the stronger he is. I don't know. I know there are two schools of thought on this. Even I think within the White House itself, whether we put him out there more, put him out there less. I've seen people say things like, well, you know, why is he hiding? Why isn't he out there more? And I realize that they're inviting him out for gaffes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's an advantage to the human side of Joe Biden.
Well, that's true. I would agree with that, too. But if we look back at his press conference the other day after the Robert Hur report dropped.
I know.
The story was not Joe Biden talks at length about very complicated Middle East negotiations. The story was Joe Biden said Mexico instead of Egypt.
No, you're right.
So
you're right.
You got to navigate that minefield. And
we need to anticipate what the media is going to pull out of it.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's why. It's not so much what Biden says. It's how it's handled after the fact.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Good deal.
And that's the concern. I think that's the concern of Joe Biden's campaign people. Certainly a concern of Joe Biden himself, I'm sure. You don't want to just keep producing unforced errors. That's going to be damaging.
Okay.
And and whether the candidate is 81 years old or 41 years old, it's something that you need to avoid in our modern politics.
I expect to see a fiery Joe Biden in the State of the Union speech.
Yeah.
And for everyone who doesn't watch the show per se, there will be clips aplenty on the internet.
Yeah. And by the way, as far as I see it, we have two choices. We can either, one, own Joe Biden's age and apply that to his wisdom and experience, his ability to get the job done, unlike Donald Trump. But Joe Biden has the wisdom and experience, and it's proved in his record right now as far as successes, bipartisan legislation, and so forth. And we should own this knowing that the issue could ultimately cancel itself out, that Trump's age and age-related issues will cancel out Joe Biden's age. And number two, we can't blindly pull the plug now, risking chaos, Democrats in disarray, rolling the dice that whoever replaces Joe Biden isn't plagued by something far more problematic than age, by the way. So the notion of having a, you know, a 3-month scramble to a nominee is utter fucking madness. It would be Democrats in disarray times 1,000. I mean, the great irony of the fact that the convention is going to be held in Chicago this year harkens back to the madness, the utter madness of 1968 that eventually led to Richard Nixon getting elected president.
Right.
And all the nightmarish things that went along with that. So what we don't know is, okay, let's say we get Joe Biden to step aside. We have no idea what kind of opposition research the Republicans have on Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris or any of the hopefuls who are occupying the Democratic bench right now.
Better the old guy we know than the young guy we don't.
Yeah, bingo.
On the side of the fence.
Yeah, that's very well said. So
about time I contributed something to the show.
So that is that. Oh, and by the way, I have an announcement, and we'll wrap up with this. I have an announcement for MAGA trolls who might be listening to the show today.
Oh, good.
Donald Trump says, get out and vote on November 27th. So mark your calendars, MAGA, for the election day, which is November 27th. Here's Donald Trump confirming this information.
We need you to get out and vote to set the stage for November. Go vote November 27th.
November 27th.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving Day, yes.
Yeah, November 27th is when you should vote Republicans.
They're so marvelously stupid.
Yeah. And by the way, where were the breathless headlines and pundits lining up to scream about Donald Trump saying November 27th instead of the actual election day? No. Crickets chirping. Okay. That's right. But Joe Biden said Mexico instead of Egypt the other day. So, fuck him. He's done. He should step down. Where are the calls for Donald Trump to step down? I mean, they've got a perfectly good candidate who's been running for the last couple of years, Nikki Haley. I'm not saying I like Nikki Haley. I'm just saying, as far as a replacement for Donald Trump, there's someone already lined up. It's not like we'd have. It's not like the Democratic side. We'd have to scramble for someone.
Where are the breathless headlines that say, "What will this do to Trump's support?"
Yeah, exactly. The fact that he told an entire crowd of supporters that they should make sure to vote on November 27th. But Joe Biden's old. Joe Biden tripped over a sandbag, so that's it. Let's go with that guy, the November 27th guy.
Exactly.
And by the way, this is one of a gazillion things. I have to pick and choose now what Trump audio I play, because if it was just, if the whole show and the content of the show was based on Trump audio, I'd be playing nothing but Trump audio, because he said stupid shit like that so many times, just in the last few days alone. I've got issues.
And so much stupid, so little time.
Meet the Press. Jesus, how far that institution has fallen.
Meet this.
And you know what's funny is people going around saying, hey, God, I miss Tim Russ, Tim Russert.
Yes.
Yeah, Tim Russ is the good guy. Tim Russ is my friend, Tim Russ from Voyager.
It's so confusing.
Tim Russert. People are saying, I miss Tim Russert.
Right, yeah.
And
some
like,
don't.
I remember Blogosphere 1.0.
Yeah.
I remember watching Meet the Press with Tim Russert and going, God damn it! Just like this.
God damn it!
All the time watching Tim Russert do that show. Because it was, you know, it wasn't as bad as Kristen Welker or Chuck Todd. Still kind of weak. Not a lot of hardball questions there.
I stand corrected. November 27th is the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, damn you.
This year, yeah. Thanksgiving Eve, everybody get out and vote.
Okay, the Shadow Docket is coming up next on our Patreon page. Go subscribe now. Support the show. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. You get extra content, extra fun, chat rooms, an entire community of listeners. Join us over there, why don't you? All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. That's it. Bye.